Time to over. Little Bessie's Tom comes for the little cedar trees to plant down his place. And then Mr. Weaver, that's on Saturday. Then on Sunday, Mr. Weaver is here. We were trying to get some information on his experiences with the dog. It's very hard to do. This Channel 2 over. And Mr. Weaver is Sunday, the 7th of January, 72. Tom first, Miss Little Bessie's Tom, and then Mr. Weaver, most of this reel on Mr. Weaver. We're trying to get experiences of his dogs to send to the Hunter's Horn. And that's Sunday morning, the 7th of January, 72.
I was eating the peanut butter.
Yeah.
That's probably what people live on, don't it?
90% of them, yeah.
Ready mix and cold cuts and...
Yeah.
That's about the way it goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have a seat. Keep down,
Jenny.
Have a seat.
Okay. Hi,
Mr. Ma.
Who's that?
I come to check on those trees that you was telling me about.
Oh, yes. Yes, there's a whole lot of them.
All right. You can show me where they are, and then I can...
You think it's a good time to put them out?
Not the best time right now. On the last of January.
How you figure that?
Well, that's what they are.
Give me a little saucer over there.
My father and them, that's when they set out the pecan trees and pear trees, orange trees. All trees is good to, when it's really cold, see the saps down.
Mm-hmm.
It's more warm.
Mm-hmm. Your daddy, will he plant trees?
Oh, he used to. My father's been dead now about 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, we had a place out there in Davis County. Well, we had an 8-acre place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You brought up out there?
Yeah. I left there when I was very young, and came to Gainesville. See, my brother, of course. School was so far away out there.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, it was near.
You got so much stuff down there. That's nice you got down there.
Yeah, well, I tell you, what most of these, this is really for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Detroit, and she's moving down a lot of part of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So she bought her a place out there, Lake Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted a few trees on it. It's not too much shade.
Out at Lake Cross?
Yeah. That's out on 441 you go. You know where hay?
Sure.
Well, just before you get to the hay, this is a little small. So you make a right till I think the road is 357.
Yeah.
You take this about 4 miles down
there. That's right. Nice country out there.
It is nice. Oh, there's good land out there for farming. They grow some cheeps out there, cucumber, string beans.
And make you dissatisfied. Just stay at home, wouldn't it?
Right. Well, I'll be going to and fro.
You know, I had a chance to buy, when I first come down here, I had a chance to buy 340s up there.
Yeah.
In that heavy land, and I didn't know what it was, and it is flat, and I come from the hill country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just made me sort of sick of the stomach to look at it. And since then, I've just kicked myself.
Oh. You know, see the difference in the saw then, I would
say. Yes, and that was, let me see, that was $125 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
120 acres, you see. I could have quit work, couldn't I?
Well, out there, as far as way over where my daughter bought, $500 an acre now.
Yeah, and you're lucky to get it there.
That's right. See, she wanted to be in the country. Detroit is clustered. I wouldn't live there. Too many people.
Just full of them, man.
Mm-hmm. Automobiles, oh man. Well, that's the way they make them all, probably. So there gotta be plenty of them.
Yeah. You all done a pretty good job on Miss Bessie.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she's coming on. I had to shake up yesterday though. She's out. Outside walking around bare feet. I got all of that. So now today she says she don't feel so good today.
Yeah.
And so she got a bit walking out in the late in the afternoon and see the dew was falling.
Oh.
Damp.
Well, she ought to know about all
yeah.
that.
Well, I tell you, 88 years old, and smile, they can't think. You just got to let them have their way about things. Of course, if somebody drowned and they'd check her right then, it'd be all right.
Yeah.
But she there by herself, she just wandered around.
Uh-huh. Just sort of when the notion strikes her.
That's right.
I don't know, somewhere along the line, you ought to have somebody a little younger living with you, oughtn't you?
Yes, it's true. It would be nice if it was a woman around.
Mm-hmm.
But find somebody. Now, I don't know the people today. They don't want a good home. I know. You know, she's nice at best, and she's nice. See, I used to room with her in New York when she lived in New York.
Oh, really?
Mm. Oh, I've been known her about 45 years.
You roomed with her in New York?
That's right. 128th Street. I knew both of her sons.
Yeah.
Calvin and Cal. And Kyla.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Kyla. I saw him once down
here. Yeah. We all stayed right there for years.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was she doing there then?
Well, she had a house at the time. She didn't wait for the... she had to take care of the house. But she must have had about 12 rooms.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had a big house.
Oh. Well, was you one of the roomers?
Yes. Well, yeah. That's what I said. I was one of the roomers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've lived in them old rooming houses.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell
you. It was a pretty nice bunch of stayed there. She didn't deal with no rough ones.
See, the beauty of them old rooming houses is that it wasn't living at home, but it's next thing to it.
That's right.
Because you knowed everybody in there.
That's right.
And then you had a place downstairs where you could sit and read. And
that's right. Mm-hmm.
There's always something to do. Better than living at home mm-hmm. sometime, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. Sure. I enjoyed it there very well.
Yeah. You don't have to feel sorry for people in them days that lived in a rooming house, do you?
Not at all. No, sir. She's been down here, I guess, now. Oh, she's been down here around 30 years or 34 years, something like that.
She come back in around 53.
53, what? Oh.
She came back the year Ms. Van Arnum married.
Who?
Florence Rogers.
Oh.
Married. She come back that year, and she made the salads for their... wedding party over there. I remember them saying.
Oh, I see.
Now, I may be wrong. I don't get things straight all the time about it.
But I know, I moved from New York City. I moved up in Westchester, up to New Rochelle. I stayed up there for a while.
Mm-hmm. But her place was on 128th Street.
128th Street, Fifth Avenue.
And Fifth Avenue.
Number 2 was right next to me.
Oh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that while her family was growing up.
That's right. Of course, the boys are pretty good size. So they got time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the baby boys, along with me, college. Years, I'd say about 8 or 10 years old now at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when did she leave there? When they was... She didn't keep that place there, too.
Oh, no. She, I think she taken a job working for a priest. Living on Madison Avenue downtown. He had an apartment downtown. She,
mm-hmm.
She worked there for a long time.
So
she came back to Florida a long time before I knew.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she got back before you did. How long have you all been back?
8 years.
Is that all?
Yes, 8 years.
8 years. Well, I've been down here a little longer than that. I mean, down right in here. I come out here in 61, Thanksgiving 61. I didn't move out here then. I just got the title of it.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But Miss Bessie is one of the first people I knew down here.
Yeah, she worked there at Rogers for a long time. Ruby's over here.
Mm-hmm.
I came home once and found out she was over here.
I'll show you those.
All right.
Let me get my hat if I can find it.
Forget the word that. I can walk so much, then I get short-winded.
Oh.
Well, with this.
Yeah, he died. He's exhausted too. He went much farther than I did. And.
What you standing there for?
I can't breathe.
Miss Williams, let me tell you, if you hold up now, catch your breath, man. He gets started. He got to get back over there. You see.
Mr. Weaver, I looked through this magazine and I found one of the finest articles. This fellow wrote in all about one of his friends. And you know, this man didn't start raising foxhounds until I guess he was 50 years old. And you know, he said he doesn't know how many he raised in the next 20 years. But he remembers his best hound. And I think that's just remarkable that all the hounds he raised, he can just pick out one and say that was his best hound.
Well, you can do that, and sometimes you can pick a puppy out and it'll be the best.
Would you ever do that?
Mm-hmm.
You remember one particular hound?
Yes, little Julie back in... that's wrong on that dog. Everybody, I tried to get away and nobody wouldn't have her. And I kept her. Of course, that isn't what you want to know right now, that dog isn't. Because that's backwards in what you were saying about her. She was one of the best ones I ever owned. Couldn't give her away. Nobody wouldn't have her. Little dog, about that high. Not big pretty dog like these others. She was about this high. She sneaked down, crawled up to you and tended. Weren't fussy or anything. She'd come up there and had a little dish face and grin. And they'd just grin at you. Everybody wouldn't even look at her. Well, I carried her on hunting. I tried to give away and couldn't. Carried her on hunting. Walked about 3 miles out of town, and she did. She wouldn't get away from me. Well, the other dogs went on, trained dogs went on, struck a fox, run it 3 hours, and to come back. And when they came in, I coached along, went on, and struck another one in about 3 hours and treated it, and I blowed my horn and came in. They're well-trained dogs. So she was still alive. sneak along that way, little grinning thing, you know, looked like nothing. Well, she then she came on then, and I started walking back to town.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got up that little piece, I seen the old wind up this way and leave the road.
Mm-hmm.
With the old, then this little dog followed him. Went up on a high hill, North Alabama up there, and she, this old dog barked.
Mm-hmm.
She opened up on the track, and they went to running, they were all running. I heard a new dog fall in there.
I told you, quit looking at me, Faye. Listen, Mr. Weaver.
And she went ahead, and she went in that race, and they run 3 hours. And she stayed right on the front end. Of course, the other dog was little Jade.
Uh-huh.
She stayed right up there on the front with him. Well, she went ahead then. Then I blowed my horn, and the old dog came in. She came up just a whining, taking on over me as if she had done something, found something she wanted to do. 9 months old.
Which dog was that?
Oh, that was back.
That
was little Julie back in the 30s.
Her name was Julie?
Yeah.
You remember all those names?
Oh, yeah, all your famous little dogs. See, I just had them for my own use, you see. I didn't use them for, use them. Of course, I'd let people have them, give a lot of people that didn't have money to get them any dogs wanted to hunt. I'd give them some of them.
Uh-huh.
And carried that little dog on, and she run, never was defeated in 7 years.
7 years.
Now, something I didn't want to tell. My wife turned her out, never fed but twice in 13 years, turned her out, and somebody had poison, neighbors did, and poisoned her. She turned her out twice in 13 years. Now then, I've got a lot of story about that little dog. I'd like to tell you, but it'd take a long time.
Well, that's what we've got.
That's what you want?
Yes.
You want me to go and finish that story?
I'd love to hear some, would you?
Oh, yes.
Well, so that went ahead and first morning my wife told me I came in and I was in the produce business working on a commission. I had no money to run business in. And
that was after the crash.
Yeah. And she went ahead and then I sold the other. I had 3 left, you know, and I sold those for $100. She borrowed that and she's still using it.
Tell about the little dog. We don't care about your wife.
Well, you got to have a little something in with it. You don't, it won't look good. You can cut that off when you go right. Now, leave that off when you go right.
Didn't you have a dog named Ann? You said you had a dog named Ann.
Yeah, that's a good story, too. It's a sad story. I really shouldn't think too much about these. I don't feel good. But I'm going to try to do the best I can to tell you the stories of what I do tell right, correct.
Uh-huh.
So that, now then, did you want just one story? Or do you want,
I don't want to know about your dog.
About little Ann. Well, I read a story in a magazine of that Ms. Smith up there, they found it, is written up about a little boy. And so that this boy wanted some dogs, and he was playing down on the lake where he was fishing one day. And he seen some magazines and papers out there. He walked out there and picked up these papers. And looked on it, and there's a man that advertised some red bone hounds for $50 a pair. Well, he tried to get his father to buy them, and he couldn't. He wouldn't furnish the money. So they're out in the country, lived out in the country. They went ahead, and he kept working for 3 years. And picking blackberries and saving all of his money, but he eventually got up $50. He walked in town where his granddaddy run a store, and he gave his granddaddy this year to order those dogs for him. All of his money he'd saved up in 3 years. picking blackberries and selling them. Well, he bought, when he went into town, you see, I'll have to wait just a minute now. I'll get the Phoenicia operation, my head don't work too good. And I won't.
You have to shake it a little every now and then.
Yeah. Well, I need rubbing a little bit. That's the only thing that does it any good. Medicine right. Don't do it any good. But I got to just rest a minute. See, I'm weak.
Yeah. I go out there.
Now, I want to think just a little. Let me think just a little bit on this here. I want to tell you this story correctly, see. And if I can ever find that magazine, I tried to keep it. And if I can ever find it, I'll give it to you.
You keep them like I do. If I want to keep something, I won't lose it.
I'll hide it, and I can't find it. Then don't remember where I went back to.
Yeah, I'll put it up and see where I can find it.
It's weakness. Doctors tell me that's weakness. And that's you and overwork what causes that.
Mm.
And your weakness. And when you're young, you can remember, go right there. I could. Get up and go in it.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Beaver, when you're young, you just don't give a damn.
No, not altogether that. I wouldn't say that because we don't impress it on mind a lot of times what we should, you know, when we're young.
This little boy had his money and went into town. His granddaddy had a store?
Yeah, his granddaddy had a store, and he gave him this money to order his dogs, and when it came, he got a letter
that
there's in the depot 20 miles.
20 miles.
And he picked him up a little sack of food, you know, a flour sack of food and stuff, and he went on, he'd camp out and went and got these dogs. And when they came in with him, he let them in home and came in with his dogs, you know.
Yeah.
And when the price had come down $10 on these dogs, and he had $10 left. He went in there and bought his grandmother, bought his mother and dad, bought him a dress and pair of overalls and a jumper to wear, and some shoes and things for that $10. Everything is cheap then, you see.
Yeah.
And he bought that and brought it on and let his dogs.
Yeah.
Well, they went ahead and trained these dogs, and they turned out to be wonderful dogs. Well, he seen in the paper, this little fella did, they'd got to be two or three years old. Seen in the paper where they was going to have a field trial.
Yeah.
And they went to this field trial like you've been reading about. That's the reason I'm telling you this story.
Uh-huh.
And so that he went to reading about this dog, I get mixed up sometimes. I'm trying to get it right. He went to, let's see, where was I?
He went out
field
to the
field
trial.
Yeah, oh, he read about the field trial, you know. And he went, and his grandfather and his daddy went, and they went ahead, you know, and they got out there, and his red bones had treed so many. Feed one coon, and that's why they passed each other and found out the walker dogs, treeing walkers, and they had two, and then he caught up with them, and they had got up to three. And it turned cold and went to rain and snow. And when they went on, you know, and they got even again. Long time, hunted. After a while, come on in, and when the hunt was all over, before the hunt was over, they was going to the dogs, they had another coon tree. His red bones dead. And when they treed this one, well, they was all trying to get to the tree, and the grandfather was way back behind. And Rector looked back, and walking through the snow and sleet, you know, and they looked back, and they missed him. They had to go back and hunt him. When they found him, he had fell down and broke his leg. Then they had to tote him in and go on in. And when they wound up, they brought him on in, you see, and got the coon, went on, and when they checked up on him, his dogs, the red bones, had treed four coons. They'd got four coons and on the field trial, and the walkers had got, three and walkers had got three. And he won the field trial, and he won $300. Well, I hadn't told you about how he named these dogs. Now, Little Ann was a little female.
Uh-huh.
And so that I ought to told you that a little bit earlier, and it comes in there what he named. He called one of them Ann, and let's see, I don't believe I remember for sure about the other one's name. There's so many dogs I've heard the names, you know, and this just is a story that I read. And he went ahead and...
Oh, there you read that. That's where you got the name Little Ann?
Mm-hmm.
From that story.
From that story, and I had some puppies, and I called this one Little Ann.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a little ahead of it. I'm trying to think just how that went exactly. So that, yeah, here's what I wanted to finish up by on. He went out hunting after that, and his dog killed a treated tiger calf.
Mm-hmm.
And he's up in the tree, and he didn't have nothing to shoot it with. And after a while, this tiger came back down and got on his dogs, and he killed his male dog right there, and he kept Little Ann 3 days. He got her home, and she lived 3 days and died. But he had won this $300 in the field trial. Well, he was worrying about that, and his mother and dad told him, says, son, don't worry about that. We can take that $3 and move to town. That $300 of his money that he got and move to town. And said, don't worry about that. And they took his $300 and went on and moved back to town, you know, and the poor little boy didn't have no dogs. And I named this little dog Ann, of mine. All right, fella from over here at, down here at Lowell, came up, wanted me to go hunting with him. Wanted to go over towards Wilson over there. Well, I loaded up my dog, and we got his dog, and I told him, I said, you got permission to hunt on those people's land? Yeah, they don't care for something. We've been hunting over there. I said, well, if it is, I'll go. If it don't, I don't want to go. So we went over there, and we jumped the fox, pulled out right down in there where some fellas had killed some hogs, and the Lord caught them. And went across this fence, and it's all posted, and the dog went right. That fox went right in there. We run all night long, you see, and he'd begin to come in about 12 o'clock, and by 3 o'clock, every dog he had had done quit and come out. These dogs, two of them, Little Ann, Mayflower, and Grady Hagen, and Cindy Lou, and Bald Eagle, were still running. They're back in there, and we couldn't go across that fence, you know, to go in there to get them. Next morning, about 9 o'clock, they went out of here and going west. And we didn't see a dog, and I think next morning some of Bald Eagle came in just about daylight. And we stayed there. I stayed all night long next day. And stayed over there in my car. Well, this man and a friend of mine from Gainesville, Johnny Albritton from Gainesville, was with us. He'd come from Gainesville, and I stayed over 3 days and nights, and they wouldn't let me go in there and get my dogs out.
Mm. Now, that was way back then, Mr. Weaver.
Oh, that hadn't been too many years ago. That's the grandmother of the oldest dogs I have right now.
Oh, that's recent. Since World War II.
Oh, yeah.
This 50s.
Yeah, well, all of that since World War... No, not so. This is back about 12 years ago. 12 years ago, this was.
1960?
And so that I don't remember exact dates, you know, but it was in the fall of the year.
Yeah.
But... I know I stayed there 3 days and nights, and the Lord's out there driving around, and he'd talk to me, and they all agreed to not let nobody go in there. And he was out there, and I met the man. He's a fine man, you know, and we stayed around and talked. And Monday afternoon, I stayed there, Saturday night, Friday night, and Sunday, I stayed over there, and these other folks bring me something to eat and drink. I don't go on people's properties posted, not unless I got a written order.
Yeah.
It don't pay to do those things. So that, anyway, about 6 o'clock, no, it was about 12 o'clock, Sunday night, Cindy Lou came in. I didn't see you nor hear nothing of a dog till 6 o'clock the next morning. Grady and one of the other dogs came in. And so that was 4 of mine. That left little Ann and Mayflower, that's mates, just a year old and running good. They still didn't come in at night. I could hear the little fellas running back in there, and they'd lie out and rest in daytime. We wouldn't come out before I could have had the right to pick them up back, you know.
Where was that, Mr. Weaver?
That's why you, I'll give you a date a while ago.
I said, where?
That's over there from between Williston and Montbrook and Ocala. So that I stayed there, and Monday afternoon he says, if they don't come out, the sheriff did, he says, we've got some property down. I says, I'll open my gate and let you go down and look for your dogs on our property. That's what the sheriff told me. He didn't like it the way the rest of them was doing, you know.
Oh, he liked dogs.
No, he didn't especially like dogs, but it wasn't right to do that. I mean, not let me go and get my dog. See, a dog can't read, you know. And they'd go on a piece of caution. Well, I didn't know it. I was a stranger. I went over there, and there's a hunter over there, and his mother wouldn't let, and he tried to get his mother to let me go in there and get my dogs. And she wouldn't do it for 3, 4, 5 days. I couldn't go in there. I didn't go in there. Well, eventually, Mayflower, in about 3 days, came out. Well, the next Saturday, and little Ann is still in there. And boy, did I worry about naming little Ann, as this other boy had so much trouble with his dog and lost it, you know. Then there come, I had little Ann, and nobody didn't especially like her, but she died with a cancer at 10 years old.
She did.
And last two races on, got 2 cats, and she was the main dog in there with that cancer on her at 10 years old. But she didn't live long after that.
Is she a walker dog?
Yeah, she's the same stock that these dogs is to have up here.
Oh, so like Dan?
Yeah.
And
she, you know, that barks so much. Now, she didn't bark and raise her. She'd bark as you come up, but she'd go ahead and lie down, you see. She didn't bark. Nellie's just like her, nearly.
Oh,
that,
is she?
That didn't bark so much now. She's just like her.
Same color and everything.
And, yeah, it makes me want to call her a little Ann sometimes.
Well,
but I didn't want to name her another, and I had so much hard luck with that. Well, so that they, after a while, when I got Mayflower out, I didn't go back anymore. She was the mother of Dan and those dogs.
Uh-huh.
I didn't, what time we got?
We got about 15 minutes.
So that we went ahead and I wish I didn't have these spells like I do, but I can't.
Mr. Weaver, it don't matter whether you have spells or not. We don't care.
I don't.
Did you, were you running the dogs in the 20s when you was so busy?
In the 20s?
Uh-huh.
I didn't have any first of 20s, but I had some, but I left them in Alabama up there,
yeah.
But I didn't bring, I run in 14, but I'd rather finish this story. And then I'll give you the others later some other time, because it takes some little bit to remember. You got them pressed on your mind. See, I hadn't thought about telling this story. I'm just having to work this as I go along. That's the reason it makes it hard on me.
Yeah.
And so that, I forgot now where I was at.
Oh, he didn't want to name that dog Little Ann. He had so much hard luck with
her. Yeah. So that next Saturday, I stayed over 3 days and nights, and then I came on in and decided I just, maybe little Anna's gone. But Saturday afternoon, I got in my car and drove back over there. And there's so many of the people around now trying their best to help me with my dogs. Didn't like it because these other people, because you couldn't blame these other people, that man going down and killing their hogs. I didn't blame them a bit. I told them I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't blame you for not wanting anybody going there. So that I was driving back, and just as I started to turn north, I was going west, and I was driving back, started to turn off the road, and I could see way up on a hill. There's a lady standing up out down the road, watching back that way. And I started to turn off, she began to motion, come this way, come this way. I figured then maybe she knew something somewhere or another. And I rushed up as quick as I could and didn't go back out to drive around, come back around this place. You know, I could drive all around it, you know. But I couldn't go in there. So that this lady kept motion. I drove up by and she said, Mr. Weaver, says, I've been standing here 2 hours. Says, I think I seen your little dog right down the road, and I've tried to catch you. Come up this way, coming this way. I was back out, going back where we'd turn them loose, back up on another place. We weren't hunting on these people's property, but the fox went in there. So that we went ahead and we got there. I got up there, and she says, I seen her just a few minutes ago, says, she went back down there, and I says, I've been waiting 2 hours wishing you'd come along so I could tell you, so you could get your little dog. So that I rushed down there and blowed my horn, here come little Ann on that. Boy, you talking about a proud fella, I was a proud.
Is that right?
And when she run out, I got out and caught her, and boy, she was all over me, and just she was so proud, and I brought her in home. I came back up there, and that law was nice to me. I had some puppies, you know. I says, he says, he told me he was going to build out there, and his boys said they'd like to, wouldn't mind if they had a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I says, well, I'll tell you. You've been very nice to me. I said, tell you what I'm going to do. I've got some puppies over there. I'll bring you one. And so now I went back over there, you see, and I carried him a puppy and gave it to him. He wanted for his little girl that's going to be over, his grandchildren is going to build out there on to keep out there on the farm. So I carried the prettiest little red puppy you ever seen. His mother was red, but his 7/8 Walker. Mm. Nearly a full-blooded Walker, but wasn't quite. I carried it over, I gave it to him. Boy, those children was the proudest you ever seen. They were as proud as I was, and I was proud to give it to him because he helped me out all he could. And I gave him this puppy, you see.
Uh-huh.
And they kept it. Got it up a great big, oh, about this high, I reckon. They're out there playing with it, and I told him he'd have to keep it up, you know. Somebody come along with a car, bang, she went and killed her little puppy right in front of the house. I never did go back to see him anymore. I hated it so bad. I asked him if he wanted nothing, if he ever did come see me. If I had any puppies, I'd give it to him. He never did come.
You know, this fella here, he was a vet.
Veterinary.
And he gave a puppy to a friend. Oh, he liked that puppy. That was a good friend. And then he dropped by one day, and he could see they weren't taking care of that puppy. So he just picked it up and walked off with it and raised it. Yeah, it turned out to be one of his best dogs. Now, that's remarkable, that man. He'd just keep an eye on his dogs if he gave them away. He wouldn't let anybody mistreat them.
Well, I tried to not, and it happened to come back to me, but a lot of them give them someone else or sell them and wouldn't give them back to me, and I'd give them to them. But he didn't work too good, just like he. Now, I didn't do that. I didn't go and take them back. If I could, I'd buy them back. But really, correct thing, they should have given back to them, but I didn't. And if they didn't charge me anything, I always give the children something, you know.
Oh, sure.
And things like that, but I quit that some time ago. Now, then the way I do now is people that help me feed these dogs, and if they want one, they can come and get one.
Uh-huh.
And because back at that, the other time, when I tell you about these other things, I was working. I had money to buy anything I wanted to, you see.
Uh-huh.
But I could work. I wasn't sick like I am now. Last 10 or 12 years, it's been rough on me.
Mr. Weaver, you all just had those walkers. This fellow, he raised walkers and Julys and trees.
Yeah, they're walkers, Julys, and they're Hud Spence and registered.
Yes.
And Hud Spence, and there's Bird Songs, and there's Old Fashioned Black in Town, and there's Maryland Hounds, and all of these kind of dogs.
You have all those dogs.
I haven't owned all of them, but I mean, I know all of them. I've had some that's crossed up with most of all these breedings.
Well, what did you just stayed with those walkers.
Well, here's the thing about it. The walker dogs was the most popular dogs, and if it's not a full-blooded registered dog, you know, mm-hmm. on these field trials, you don't get as much credit for them if you hunted them.
Oh, I see.
When I started, last time I was going to go to these field trials and got sick and couldn't work and weren't able to hunt and couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
I did my dogs train themselves mostly. And my friend had come in, they liked to hunt, they'd come go hunt with me and help me pick up the dogs. See, there's a while I couldn't walk 50 yards.
But those dogs just trained.
I had to train them, come right back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could drive out there. Then I got 4 years, I couldn't even drive.
Mm.
Couldn't put stand this leg. You seen the one that's rough
right.
up to my knee.
Well, those dogs are still hunting pretty good, though.
Oh, yeah, they're naturally, they're the best hunters they are. That's the reason I like to keep them.
Well, I thought those Trigs and those Julys would do about the same as a walker.
Well, July back at, when they were, back when in 19 and 5, 6 and 7 and 8 and 10 along there, the July was a much better dog than it is today, except in speed. I think they've crossed out and got some greyhound in the Julys now, most of them, because they'll run and jump these fences 8, 10 feet high, you know, and go right on over, and they're faster than
you've
the
seen them do that?
Huh?
You seen them jump like that?
Yeah, you take these long-necked Julys, you see a picture in there and everything. I could, then some of the magazines, they got a few Julys putting them in this magazine. They used to didn't have them but walkers.
Well, your dogs didn't jump like that, did they?
No, mine's walker dogs. They've been trained and bred to run fox, and you can make cat dogs out of them. Some of them don't make good cat dogs.
They don't jump a fence?
They'll jump a fence, but not like those Julys. They ain't got the greyhound to speed in them.
Oh, yeah.
You see, they've bred these last greyhounds, a lot of them, is for speed. And they won't get down and trail. A walker dog will get down and trail and go around and that not pay no attention to a cow or nothing.
Mm.
A lot of Julys will run stock. I won't have one of them.
Oh, you just always had those walkers.
I've not always had them, but since they got the breeding wrong, you couldn't give me a July dog.
Oh, you had
not now. Not the way they're breeding them now. There's one time a mighty fine dog. In fact, the walker dog, the old original July, way back in the 80s, that dog was just kind of like the July, the walker dogs is now. Only they're breeding walkers to hunt, strike, and trail, and drive, and run the track close, and July will circle way on and skip ahead. You'll get them a babble, you'll get them a cut, won't pack. When another dog catches them, they'll quit and cut around and get ahead, then burst up the races. Well, people, have you ever been to old-fashioned singing?
Oh, yeah.
You have.
Those old singing, all those people.
You ever hear the old Fossil Lost Singers?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no.
You never did hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I got the history of that.
Mr. Whip, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of those dogs? Have you always breed your own dogs?
Well, I breed them, but I have to breed them to somebody else, you know, or let them breed to mine. We swap.
Back and forth.
We get it. I always, if a fella, if I wanted, if he didn't have money, or anything like that, they'd usually bring me some feed, or either they'll do this. I didn't go out for breeding and selling dogs. Never have done that.
Yeah.
I meant to, but I got where I couldn't handle them and sick, and it takes a lot of work to train dogs.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got one old dog and two or three old ones, take puppies out there and just train them, leave one dog, they'll train themselves. You don't have to worry about it. But if you haven't got this old dog to start with, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And it's hard
but
to train.
You've had some good sires.
Yeah, I've had good dogs. A lot of dogs I've owned, registered dogs, wasn't registered in my name because I didn't care nothing about it. I wasn't in the dog business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really been in the dog business. I bought dogs, and if they didn't like when I had when I was able to buy them, I'd buy them. And if I didn't like them, I'd either give them away or let somebody else have them, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if they come along and wanted them, you see, I'd tell them why I didn't like them, you know, and if they wanted them, if they wanted to give them money back, I'd let them have them like that. But for going in and selling, buying and selling dogs, I've never just been a dog dealer.
Mm-hmm. And are your sires, are they good out in the field too?
If they ain't of this breeding a dog, just like these dogs has won the USO, some of these back at back of these dogs that I have, they won these high United States, and even England brought dogs over here and Canada, all over the states. You see how they're advertising
sure.
now.
Right.
Now they come, the USO will come out now. They had the USO in North Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if I'd had the money and been able, I'd have went up there and went to that USO just above where I lived. A lot of my people, some of my cousins, people be up there, probably run some dogs on the US. Cost you $30, and I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
To run them on it, and $30 belong to it. All I could have done is just went up there and looked on.
Yeah, that's what I got into with cattle. If you're going to breed them and sell them, you had to...
Yeah, the same thing. You know,
we
were talking about that.
You had to be a party man.
You got to be into it. You got to go. You'd have to go to all these meets, you wouldn't you, and study and all these shows.
Yeah, that's too much.
Well, you see, all I care about, I like just to hear them run.
Yeah.
And we're getting to where I'm not...
Well, what's the best one you heard run, Mr. Weaver? Well, around here now, you haven't had any trouble around here until just recently, yes.
Back. No, we used to didn't have no trouble. Listen,
They
used to, all the cattlemen and the hunters cooperated together. They liked each other.
Yeah.
But we got dog jockers in here stealing dogs and kill you, because they're like killing your cow. They'll do that.
You mean back then?
No, not then.
Yeah.
They didn't.
They'd
kill a few cows back then, but very seldom.
Yeah.
All right, we hunters would help the cattlemen look after their cattle. And if we seen the fence down, I'll fix it. You go over here and ask these Richardsons. I used to have the Richardsons' cabbage and stuff all like that.
Yeah.
When I was in the commission business, I couldn't buy it. I didn't have the money. I'd have to banks.
Hmm.
Went broke.
Yeah.
And I could tell you lots of stories that you'd like to hear, but then it kind of... upsets me to try to remember and talk too long.
Well,
the
then
time.
You could just let
weak.
Your dogs run, couldn't you?
Huh?
I mean, you could just let your dogs
well,
run.
Well, I'd rather hear my dogs run. It's just like going to those singing conventions, you know, that probably you. I know you've been to them in Tennessee.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Mr. Weaver, Rick, he needs to get back over there. See if you can't get back on those days where you didn't have trouble.
Let me tell you, they used to, when I was a little boy, my father and grandfather, and I'd hear them all the hunters back then, my uncles talking about it. The dogs would get after the deer, and they'd run maybe 40 miles.
40 miles.
And that poor dog would be run to death, and he'd pass to anybody's house. He'd take that dog there and go out there and run, get him some feed right quick, and feed that dog.
Is that right?
And if they kill that deer, they'd cut off its foot or something tied around its neck and beat it up, and it'd lie around on 2 or 3 days, and they'd eventually go back home and go in there with a note on it. Who done this?
Is that right?
Now, that's what you call living.
Yeah.
Your dogs come back like that sometimes?
Well, mine come back about a dog. Now, I had old Yon and they got that, and they got here. They stole that dog and carried that up there and gave it.
Let's stay back in the time where you didn't have trouble for a little bit.
Did Julie ever come back like that?
Huh? Mine has been gone 3 and 4 and 5 days that it didn't see him.
Which dog was that?
Old Ann was going that way one time back over here close to Windsor, but they didn't catch him, but he got after a fox and he run the fox and left, and some of them came back that night. Then now, since the day, early that morning, you know, and some of them came in, got in about after, way after dark, and they had swum over lakes and ponds with muck all over them. And Dan, I don't know what he didn't want to come through that muck coming back. He went with a year old. But
a bald eagle ever do that?
Bald eagle's come back. He never did stay too long, bald eagle, but old, and I've had nearly all of them be gone 2 or 3 days, you know.
Mm.
There's, see, my dogs, I used to run the cats with them, and there's panthers in here. That's where a lot of the stock is being killed, and it's getting law to kill them.
Oh.
I can tell you some of those stories, too, about that, what I've seen of those. My dogs, or the cat dog, will run a panther.
Yeah.
And if they get after that, it may go 40 miles back in here and take your dog several days to get back. We've known some to be around the panthers, never come back.
Yeah.
And Pollard, from up here on Painsbury, run the panther plumb on over to the other side of Island Grove, and the fellow eventually got all the dogs back but one. Never had seen it.
The whole pack lit out after the panther.
Yeah.
But
he rode one horse down, stopped out down there, Wooded Coleman, and out there at the junction, that nigger. This was a nigger's dog. I'd hunted with him way back when he kept dogs. And he had good ones too now. I don't think he didn't. So that he got after that old panther up there at Payne's Prairie, right up there before you cross the causeway there. And hit run down, and he got the Wooded Coleman. He had followed all back in yonder. See, I was open woods at that time. He could ride through that.
Oh, that Pfeiffer land.
Yeah, and, you can hunt on that if you got a permit. I got a permit in my pocket to hunt on their place anytime I want to. You see, I can't go on your place down here without a permit.
Well, now, go ahead with your dog, yeah. So he went on, clear on down to
went
the
Valley Grove. And he stopped, and he had run his horse so trying to keep up with him, following his dogs, until he stopped and got borrowed one of Woodard Coleman's horses and run it to cross to pass Island Grove back in yonder.
Trying to keep up with his dogs.
Trying to get his dogs and catch him and catch his dogs, because he knew he was after a panther.
Yeah.
Well, I've had mine run one and catch him. And I, just soon as I find out it's a panther, I've had him to be going all day long running the panther and leave, going out towards Williston, and begin to come back that afternoon, you know, and it'll be about dark before any of them got back and run that panther.
Yeah.
Struck it out there on just the other side to make an open run in there. Mine babe went up right over here one day right up here, and I started to go out to it, and every dog I had, and man, he come back with tail between his legs going to my hunting for me and my truck. And that panther young dog went back out there and run it right up to me, and you know, I didn't have a pocket knife. I threw up my hands and hollered. And he's about to catch my dog too, and I bluffed that panther, and he skidded, but I didn't know it was a panther when it runs up. I thought it was somebody big old German Shepherd.
Oh really?
It didn't scare me one bit because I didn't know what it was. I've told people, and they can think, you know, that it didn't scare me, you know. Yeah, I didn't tell them to start with, you see, that I didn't know what it was to start with. Well, my other dog went away on around, struck a fox, went the other way, and that's why this young dog got on the tracks, went on around, and didn't get him until that afternoon. All of them came back in there, but I didn't go out there and look at that panther. After I went back and looked at the sign, I didn't go out there in that palmetto patch where they bayed at, because I stayed out, and I was watching behind him all
the time. Mr. Weaver, who's the best people you've hunted with?
Well, sir, I believe I'd have to say just as good I've had some cousins and some friends in North Alabama and some several down here in Florida. They're all good. And had they had good dough. But a man I thought was as honest and fair was, he's passed away several years ago, was from a lot of way, Mac Millen. He used to come down here and cat. He didn't do nothing to cat on.
Yeah.
And we'd happen to be out and our dogs would get together, you know, hunting, you see. And he was the best old fella. He cared three or four of his hands on his pickup to, if he got to see, we didn't have his highways in. And if we got stuck, he had enough fire to pick him up and take his cars right on out and follow him. He'd go right on to the places and had me follow him with the A model now. He says, come on, follow me. He says, I got plenty of help here. Get stuck, they'll pick it up and throw it out for you. We went on and followed him to all these places around in here. One day, now they got back on the little store, I got to tell you a little touch of this in with that.
Now, don't leave Mac Millen.
Well, I'm going to, Mac Millen's the man I'm going to tell you about. One day we was talking, you know, he says, Mr. Weaver, he said, talking about little Julie now, that little dog back in the 30s. He says, just what would you take for that little speckled female you have? I says, Mr. Mac Millen, I says, she's just not for sale. I wouldn't sell her. I tried to give away when she was a puppy and I couldn't. She's the best dog, one of the best cat dogs I've ever owned and good a fox dog, never been defeated. And as he said, well, I'll tell you, I've been over $200 for one of my dogs. He says, I believe, if anything, she's just a little better than my dog. Now, when a man tells you that, he's honest. About you, about your cow, man got
and
a little.
He come from up there around Lachway.
Yeah, well, this side of Lachway.
Yeah.
What's that little turpentine station? He run a turpentine business up there. He had plenty of money.
Oh, did he?
He wanted me to price it. I says, I wouldn't even price her for $500. I says, I'm going to keep her till she dies. And that's the dog and wife turned out to get poor. Now, I don't like to talk about that.
Now,
his
name was Mac Millen.
Mac Millen.
Well, did you call him Mr.?
I sure called him Mr. Mac Millen.
Yeah.
And I was taught that when I was a boy, and boy, I'd
well,
got
poor. Well,
I mean,
you don't even know the rest of his name.
No, I called him Mr. Mac Millen. That was his surname.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've heard it, but I don't remember it right now.
Yeah.
I can't recall it right now. Because I called him Mr. Mac Millen. The way I was taught.
And what did he have, an old Model T?
He had a Model A pickup. I told you had back at that time.
Model A pickup.
And you had
and then he'd bring two or three niggas with him.
Yeah.
To pick him up and take him out of the
road. Yes, sir, and he'd follow those dogs, too. And he had good dogs.
Oh, he didn't stay there in one place and wait.
No, see, I hunt was just...
Strike out on foot?
Huh?
He strike out on foot after those dogs?
No, he didn't, but he drove around. He had help pick that tarpa. He'd get that out of that mud and water. If he went down to the axles, he'd come out of it.
Oh, he could go through all these, through the woods on these old logging trails.
Yeah,
no.
That's what we had, and these turntime trails, that's
turntime.
Where we traveled in, you see.
Yeah.
Of course, if it's too bad, we didn't go in, we'd have to turn around and go back way around, but ordinarily, boy, you couldn't have went through by yourself. Sometimes we'd go on through, I followed him around, and I didn't think either one of us would get near through that, and we both, I followed him, he said, follow me, I'll get you out. Well, now you got to hand it to a man. All right, there's a fella.
When did you hunt with him?
I was in the 30s.
What good hunt did you have with him, Mr. Weaver?
Well, it was just those cat huntings when he'd come down in here. I know we didn't go off on fields out. He and I didn't. We just liked to hunt, and we didn't have. He had to tend to business, and our
Well, he had to get on back.
And I couldn't go to these hunts. I had to try to make a living then, you see.
Well, I mean the good hunts that you had for cats. And
oh, well, we can't hunt. See, they've got a lot of fenced up and posted.
The one that you all went on there, good hunt, when you all went out there.
Well, we was out around Micanopy. He'd just come down here hunting, cat hunting around in here, and I'd go out in there. Go out to Rochelle Road, route around River Styx, you know. And just like, I'd like to tell you a whole lot.
Around the River Styx, you could get out in there?
Oh, I can't anywhere in this whole country, nobody. And it's just as nice. And if your dog come up to their house, they'd send you word or catch it for you if you told them to. And if you didn't tell them to, they wouldn't catch it. And I went out and picked up.
They'd done that down here, too, at one time.
Well, they'd done it. That's what I'm talking about, here and up in Alabama, too.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't think about stealing a dog. Very seldom a dog has ever, you ever missed a dog. And people would notify you. We had two stolen up in Alabama when I was a little boy about this.
Word. What to do? Send word to you? Notify you?
Yeah, if your dog was there and if your dog got lost off and it's starting hungry, they'd let it lie around there at the house and take care of it for you.
Well,
and
I'll
send
be.
You word, and it'd eventually get up and it rested up and come home.
Oh, it'd rest up a little bit.
Yeah, they'd run till they'd just be plumb give out and couldn't go, and they'd walk and they'd stop, you know. And any people back at that time, see our dog out there under, and now then you can always tell one of my dogs if somebody don't do like they did do positive time, they take the collars off your dog.
But you didn't have collars then?
I did back in the 30s, but we did when back in Alabama. We did go off hunt like we did down here. After we got down here and we went to go a long ways to hunt, we always put a collar.
Frank Millen was one of the best ones that you hunted with.
He is one, but I hunted lots of them. I had some cousins up there in Alabama just as straight and honest and fair with you and a lot of other people up there did. There's some few people, you know, wasn't fair up there.
But your cousins were.
They had good dogs, too.
Oh,
now,
they
I'm
did?
I'm not kidding you. Heard the special registered dogs.
Yeah.
One of them had a Williams.
A Williams.
And Williams is this where I got this red spot at. When Williams died, he had married one of the Walker as sisters. And when this red spotted puppy, Williams took him and registered him as Williams. And it says black and white spotted, and Walker took him and registered him as Walker dog.
Is that right?
Then when he died, they took these Williams dogs and cross them back in as Walkers, you know. There was Walkers, the same breeding up, but Walkers started back in the
1700s.
Yeah. And all like that.
Well, and that's what your cousins had.
But around here, Macmillan was about the best fellow you hunted with.
Well, you take Baxler. Well, there's a lot of them.
Who?
Baxter's. He passed away a few years ago. He had good dogs. Neil Adams and Gainesville had good dogs. They're good hunters.
Baxter, what'd you all hunt?
Baxter and I, we fox and cat hunted, but they deer hunted with theirs, but we didn't have no deer around here at that time.
Oh, I see.
They could run there and we could hunt together, but now I can't hunt with these fellas. Got deer. I'm afraid my young dogs are starting.
Now, was Baxter, was he back in the 30s too?
Yeah. I went out and picked up his dogs and Neil Adams and man asked the man what he charged for catching them and letting me know about it. And some of them, very few, don't want to take any money for it.
Baxter and Neil Adams.
I'd go out, I've hunted them a great deal, and Wirt Carter still living over here at Fairfield. You ought to see him.
Who?
Wirt Carter can tell you a whole lot.
He's still over there?
Yeah. He's a... of course, if y'all want to write stories about it, that's the way these writers do. They go.
We don't want to write stories about it. We want to write about your experience with them. That's all.
Well,
just yours.
Well,
we don't want to Wirt Carter. Who is Wirt Carter?
Wirt Carter's a fine hunter. Hunted ever since I've hunted with him ever since back in the 1930s.
Where does he live? Fairfield?
He lives out the other side of Fairfield. And he's a fine man, too.
Yeah.
And he
still got dogs?
I don't know. I haven't heard from him in about a year, but he's down pretty low. He said the cats had killed all his dogs nearly.
Oh.
Bobcats has taken this country and panthers and they've even got bear around here, too. There are quite a few bear around in here.
You mean bobcats? Is that plentiful?
Ooh, man, I bet there's, I bet from Payne's Prairie and around in here and back across to Loch Lucy and there, there's 500 cats.
That many?
Is that right?
We hunters kept them killed up, but we can't go now. There are fellas that stopped
me. Well, let's not get off on now. I was at good times, you see.
You want
Carter,
to get some history of that back then.
I don't want the history, I just want the experiences.
Well, I mean,
and I don't want unpleasant experiences.
Well,
I want some of the nice hunting you did.
Some nice, good hunting?
Yes.
Poor
well,
like
it
Buck,
all goes along with it, now
Buck Carter.
And the back.
What is your name? What Carter?
What Carter. What Carter over there.
C-A-R-T-E-R?
C-A-R-T-E-R. Carter, I believe it's
yeah.
Where it's spelled.
Yeah.
C-A-R-T-E-R. I believe
yeah.
That's where it's
and his first name is Work.
Work. Something, I can't speak
yeah.
It on account. See, I can't talk good like
yeah.
I used to good.
Well, that's what you
teeth.
Said the other day, Mr. Weaver. Now, where'd you all run?
Well,
you don't have to let me.
We run all around in here, back over across the river, back across the lake over in here, back the way on the other side of Fairfield, and around Spar and Anthony, back over on Citra, and across the river Styx, all over this country.
Well,
but,
all that country, all that time, the 20s and 30s, this is all pretty. You could run anywhere, couldn't
run
you?
Run anywhere and drive around, and people see your dogs, if you tell them to catch them. They'd catch them all over the country, and they'd.
Now, how'd this country right here look in the 30s? This place was here. It was farming.
Oh, there's a lot of farming in here, Richardson. There's a lot of farming,
yeah.
But you know what? So before now, listen. I don't like to do maybe getting you all kind of mixed up on what you want, but you can take what you want to of it, and leave off what you want to.
Sure.
My dogs is running all around in here, and they didn't care anything, but somebody, they said, had a red dog and a black one.
Yeah.
And now, Fox, and if I was to hunt right in here, your dog, your cows wouldn't pay much attention to my dogs. My dogs won't do nothing but run around them or go right away. If a fox goes through them,
right.
They'll go around, and they won't go hardly up too close to them.
Sure.
Let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, now, Work Carter, was he any kin to old man Ed Carter?
Ed.
Ned Carter, Bill Carter, Jim Carter, lived out there. Where'd you turn off? You turn off down here at the drugstore and go. What is his name?
You mean Ed Rush.
Rush. How in the world I get Carter out of Rush?
You mean Ed Rush. He's
yeah.
A good old hunter. He's a good hunter, but he burst up racers running in and hollering and interfered with the dogs, you know, just his way of hunting, you see.
How'd he do that?
Run in there and go to hollering. If your dog used to be in coach, you know, and you didn't holler at your dog, he'd make him quit and be afraid to run, thinking you wanted to stop.
Oh, really?
And he didn't mean any harm by it.
Yeah.
Good fella. I would have hunted him a many time. He is old, you know. In fact, let him keep a dog I had a long time.
Yeah.
He was supposed to have bought the dog from me, but he didn't.
Yeah.
I had $50 in the dog, and he wanted it, and he was supposed to give him money back, but he never did.
And you went with him many times.
Oh, he come up here when I didn't, during the war, and I sold my truck. It wore out and got so bad, and I couldn't get parts to fix it. I just had to sell it and
mm-hmm.
Not have nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't have a way. He'd come up here to get me and my dogs to go cat hunting, carry me hunting and stay with him, have me pick my dogs up and bring them back. And if he wanted to borrow a dog, I'd let him use mine.
Which dog? Was that Julie?
Huh?
That
no,
Julie?
I didn't let nobody have that dog.
Well, which dogs were that he hunted with?
That was old Sunday. That was about 12 and 15 years ago. I mean, I'd hunt with him way back down in the 30s.
That's what I was
I run about. Little Julie, get all those dogs. She beat everything they had.
Well, now, back in the 30s, he wasn't an old man.
He was middle-aged then.
Yes.
But he passed away about 10 years ago.
I know. But when he was middle-aged now, he didn't go out there and break up the hunt then.
Well, yeah, he hollered. You know, he didn't mean to do it. But it didn't interfere with some dogs. You see, I hunt mine. When I used to call my dogs, I train them. I don't say nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
I turn them loose.
Mm-hmm.
They learn to go and get that fox out me going and doing the right work.
Sure.
I just sit down and listen.
Oh, you hear them.
And after a while, you'd hear them somewhere.
Well, now, how did he do it?
He'd drive around, hunt for tracks, and put them after something like that, and hunt and drive all day and all night and never find a race. And you take dogs, these walking dogs, and go on and hunt. He didn't walk dogs, he couldn't stay right with you. And after, they didn't hunt like I did. Now, I hunt like these here that you're reading about, these field trials.
Well, now, how'd he hunt?
I told you.
He got on the track.
He hunted till he could find a track in the road and turn his dogs loose.
And then he'd stay with those dogs?
Well, he'd drive around and stay with them best he could then.
Oh, I see.
If they struck.
Yeah. And after they struck, he'd go help them?
No, all he could do, he'd go along and holler, but dogs don't pay no attention to you unless you make it. If he'd been used to being stopped and not being, and you run up right in the crowd of dogs and them come across, walk across, and you run up a high, catch him. Well, these dogs like I've got will turn and go the other way. They think that means not do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to watch fellas like
that.
Oh,
I see. But his were used to it.
Yeah, and they didn't think of that. That encouraged them up to make them go faster.
I see.
Excite them. But you either make a fox or a cat turn back and get the dogs excited and then lose it, you never run it anymore. I've seen him do that, and you never get it there anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, I tell you, when they do that, I'd catch my dogs because I didn't want my dogs running.
Yeah.
Just as soon as I get my hand on mine, I'd catch
them. Well, now, let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, we'll let you catch your breath now. We got some nice things. We can talk about old man Ed Rush and Macmillan up there at Lactry, out there, that turpentine man, and this Carter fella.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can stay back in there at the time that people would help you keep up with your dogs.
Well, it's interesting to people that haven't had the chance to have the experience.
That's right.
Now, you see, you all still don't understand it. Either one, you get out and get in it. You may like it, but you'd like to see that old cat run up a tree that way and the dogs run by him, and just as soon as they get out, Johnny, he jumps off and backtrack he goes.
Ooh.
Get up on the highway and make a circle around this way, a dog can't smell him on the highway.
They're smart
to that.
He does what on the highway?
He gets up on the highway, a dog can't wind him close enough to just wind him in the air, he can't smell on the highway.
There's too many other smells.
Yeah, that odor in that asphalt and all that cat, a dog can't take it in his nose.
And a cat knows that.
Yeah, and a fox too. I've seen him do that, go around and around. And an old dog will get wise to that, and he'll make a circle around it. And he'll his head up in the air because he knows he sticks his nose down there what it does for him. Now,
yeah.
This last over yonder, I've got to go two hunts. Three hunts before they got my dog. And it sure messed me up. I seen a little young fox, the dogs were running out there, and three or four, we'd see him young and we wouldn't say a word to the fellas was hunting with. We were good hunters, just let the dogs alone. We didn't try to put them after it, show them, we let them see it couldn't work out, let the little fox go.
Yeah.
We don't want to kill them because foxes, that does you more good than it does you harm, but a bobcat won't. He'll get anything that you don't want him to get near.
Yeah.
That little fox, you just let on go?
There was more to you than a house cat or a dog.
Mm.
They catch more rats and more busters of man feeding. I can talk 2 weeks right here for you.
Yeah.
Mm.
On experience.
Okay.
But I just can't
But
well, that's
you,
a good bit so far. I mean, that's good bit. good work with that.
Well, I just spotted it around.
Sure,
it's just
let me tell you, Ms. Weaver, we'll kind of go back over this now. Now, what he's working with you on now is the dogs. And don't get off on your relatives and mean things. And I don't like to do that. And
no.
you talk yourself down on things that he ain't interested in.
Well, you got...
Now he's going to take you home now. Just let him... Go ahead. Well, why in the hell are you studying that? Go ahead and get him. And keep... You see what we want. We want some of your good experiences where the dogs act like dogs.
Well, I like to tell that, too.
Well, don't tell the other.
It's best to tell the best, but listen.
Well, go
if
ahead.
You don't tell the whole story,
now.
Man, don't get it all.
Well, I don't want the whole story.
I don't like to talk to anything like the devil's work. I don't like that.
Now, you stay a little while with him, Rick.
Channel 2 over. The end of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday morning, the 7th of January, 73. Channel 2 over, I don't know, around 1600, and the end of the visit with Mr. Weaver on this working tape. We're trying to get his experiences with his dogs. And we never had it, and we still don't have much of it. Channel 2 over, around 1500, I judge, and the end of this visit Mr. Weaver this Sunday morning, the 7th of January, 72.
He's been, doctors have resurrected him two or three times. I mean, he's gone. Mm. Well, I got a lot of trash. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Weaver.
But now you see that, you have to kind of work for it, don't you? Now, you see, you go down and look for old man Wuck Carter at Fairfield. But you can't go down there and say, now, I want to talk about dogs. They don't work like that. They can't talk with you, just sight and see. So, I think we'll see what Rick's got.